Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. And today we are joined by a music pioneer, a music legend who was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2006, along with his band members in Lynyrd Skynyrd. And we'd like to welcome Artemus Pyle to the show. Nice to have you on Border Crossings.
Wow, Larry. It's great to be with you. Hello to everybody in the world. And of course, my fellow veterans. And yes. Thank you for having me and letting me talk about our new project.
And thank you for your service. Now, on behalf of all the veterans, around the world who have served the country in the name of peace. So thank you. Now, the name Artemus, that's not a very common name. It's not a name you hear often. What's the story behind that name? Parents have, or maybe where you grew up, that was a common name?
No, sir. Artemus, I was born Thomas Delmer Pyle. Of course, later on, they called me Gomer when I joined the Marines. Shazam.
Shazam.
Artemus, when I went to two different colleges, actually three. I went to Tennessee University in Cookeville, Tennessee, taking some pre-law courses. And everybody had a nickname, Snake, Flash, Woody, all these cool names. And so they named me Artemus, which was from Greek mythology.
Right.
And I thought it was a girl's name, so I hated it. I was like the boy named Sue. and then later, a program came out called the Wild Wild West.
Mm-hmm.
And Artemus Gordon was the sidekick of James West, who was the Secret Service for President Ulysses S. Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, finally, Artemus is the name. It's a guy's name, so it is both. There's a female and a male, and mine is Artimus.
Mm-hmm.
And so it stuck. A lot of my college friends called me Artemus, and then, my friends and then my family, it kind of stuck. It's on all of my albums with Lynyrd Skynyrd and everything I've ever recorded, which is about 45 million albums. It's listed as Artemus Pyle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nickname and it stuck. And but when I was in the Marines, of course, I had another nickname, which was Gomer. So,
well, you have a new album, which is called Anthems Honoring the Music of Lynyrd Skynyrd. And I read where you were kind of not feeling it anymore with Lynyrd Skynyrd. So what made you decide that you wanted to do a tribute album?
Well, because Ronnie Van Zant deserves it. His prolific writing, Simple Man, Sweet Home Alabama, Freebird, all those songs, they're songs that'll be here 1,000 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is because of Ronnie Van Zant and his vision. And I was his drummer. Bob Burns was there before I, and Bob and I were inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame together the same night, of course. In the 21st class with Miles Davis, Blondie, the Sex Pistols, and Black Sabbath.
Wow.
That was the class that night. So it was an amazing evening. But I stood there, knowing that Ronnie Van Zant put me there. And Bob Burns played Sweet Home Alabama. And he brought me to tears because he's sitting over there being inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And, he started Lynyrd Skynyrd with Gary Rossington and Ronnie Van Zant.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob was a great drummer. I always called him the Ringo Starr of Southern rock drummers because he never got the credit that was due as a drummer like Ringo. I think Ringo was underrated too. Mm-hmm. Of course, Ringo is Ringo and he'll always be Ringo. But
right. And he came after Pete Best.
Huh?
He came after Pete Best.
And he came after Pete. Yeah. So I came after Bob, and I love Bob. Bob was actually in my band, the Artemis Pyle Band, APB.
Mm-hmm. APB, yeah.
And we lost Bob to a damn car wreck, you know, years ago, and in a really a bad, dark, stormy night on a mountain north of Atlanta, Georgia. And Bob left the road and hit a tree and was killed instantly. And I miss Bob every day. I miss all of my friends every day. Gary Rossington, who I was able to, against all odds, get Gary on the album Anthems, on the song Freebird with Dolly Parton. Dolly sings it. And I asked Gary if he wanted to put his iconic slide solo on this recording. And Gary told me that, you know, he wasn't feeling well, that his health wasn't the best, but that if he felt better, he'd, you know, let us know and maybe. Well, I mentioned that Dolly Parton was singing Freebird, and Gary said, you know what, I feel a lot better all of a sudden.
That'll do it,
you know. And so so we got Gary on there with Dolly. It was amazing. We wrote a beautiful arrangement with Kent Wells, Dolly's producer of 35 years. And so your question is good, Larry. You know, why a bunch of Lynyrd Skynyrd songs re-recorded? They've been recorded many times, probably by all kinds of bands over the years. And my answer is the same. Ronnie deserves it. Mm-hmm. He deserved us kind of putting a little polish on these songs. Mm-hmm. And with modern recording techniques and modern recording equipment. We came out with an album that had, sonically, it's just beautiful. It sounds great. Kent Wells did an amazing job of producing. And as I said, he was with Dolly for 35 years. Mm-hmm. They're good friends, and her producer. And so I got the best drum sound I've ever had. I got that magic Nashville, Tennessee fat drum sound. Mm-hmm. You know, but I've got the best of both worlds, because a lot of drummers in Nashville, Tennessee, they're told, don't play here, don't play there, don't do this, don't do that. Mm. And they're able to still sound great on a lot of those recordings because of just getting in something here and something there without a bunch of rolls. But playing the Lynyrd Skynyrd songs, I got the great Nashville fat drum sound. Plus, I had free reign to play the songs the way they're supposed to be played. And so we ended up with an amazing album. All of the... I've done interviews in Athens, Greece, Sydney, Australia, Paris, France, Edinburgh, Scotland, England, all over America, Montreal, Toronto, the world over. The popular consensus seems to be that we have a beautiful tribute album. And then Great. You add to sonically, and then you add to that Dolly Parton, Sammy Hagar, Warren Haynes, Ronnie Dunn from Brooks and Dunn. He sang Sweet Home Alabama and did a great job. We have a whole list of amazing singers, and they all put their hearts and soul into their performances because they're singing for Ronnie. Mm-hmm. You know, they're singing for a fellow singer-songwriter. And, you know, Dolly was the first one to agree and come on board with Freebird. And after that, that opens the door for everybody. Everybody wants to be on an album with Dolly.
Yes, yes.
So our Freebird is on Dolly's new album, Rockstar.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And she has 30 songs. Dolly doesn't do anything halfway.
Right, right, right. And she never did rock. She, you know, when she was inducted to the Rock Hall of Fame, she said, why me? I'm not a rock and roller, but now she's chosen to become a rock and roller. I saw her show at the, you know, in one of the Dallas Cowboys games. She did a performance, And so she looked like a cheerleader. I thought she was a 20-year-old cheerleader. She looks great.
Dolly is amazing. We do things together to raise money for breast cancer awareness. Mm-hmm. Of course, Dolly has her amazing book program for children. She gives large amounts, you know, $1 million all the time to children's hospitals. And so she is a humanitarian. Mm-hmm. Singer, songwriter, movie star, plays guitar as good as a man. But she is a humanitarian. And we are so, the whole band, my band, Brad Durden, Jerry Lida, Scott Raines, and Dave Fowler, we are so, I'll say proud. Sometimes pride isn't the greatest thing to have. We are very proud to be on an album and a song with Dolly. And Larry, you know, the day she played Freebird for me in the studio in Nashville, I cried like a baby. I mean, because it was emotional to me hearing her singing Freebird, this beautiful, gigantic little voice, or this little gigantic voice, singing the words that Ronnie wrote, "If I leave here tomorrow, will you still remember me?" And I mean, I broke down like a baby. Hmm. And, you know, later in the control room, you know, she said, well, I said, well, Dolly, you know, because of Ronnie Van Zant, I'm able to vote every year since 2006 in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I said, I'm going to vote for you. To your point, she said, well, I don't think I deserve it. You know, I'm not really a rocker, although her husband, Carl, has influenced her because he's a rocker. Mm-hmm. And Carl, you know, influenced her to do a couple of rock type recordings a few years ago. And so, you know, she did it for Carl. She said, I don't think I deserve it. And I said, well, Dolly, you know, I feel that you deserve everything because of what a humanitarian you are. And she goes, well, I guess I'll accept the nomination. But she said, can I put Freebird on my album? I'll probably be doing a rock album, so I'll feel like I deserve it. And of course, she did 30 songs, as I said.
Yeah,
and I, you know, so the whole band, we were standing there. She's, you know, Dolly Parton says, can I put your track on my album? And the whole band was like, yes. Yes, ma'am.
Didn't have to think too long on that one. Yeah. And of course, you have another legendary rocker for, you know, he was with Van Halen and he's had his own solo career. Sammy Hagar is another superstar to have on the album with you.
Well, you know, I knew Sammy when he was with Ronnie Montrose back in the days of Montrose.
Mm-hmm.
And Ronnie Montrose was a super sweet person. He was such a nice man. And Sammy, you know, was in that band. That's when I met him. And, you know, of course, Sammy went on, as you say, he followed the Yellow Brick Road. Went on to amazing stardom. What a voice. He's a great guitar player, and he's a comedian too. He's a funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's what you would expect a real rock star to look like and sound like and act like. But Sammy doesn't consider himself a rock star. He's, you know, neither did Ronnie, nor do I. I'm a worker bee. I'm a drummer. I was lucky to be included in all that. Ronnie brought me into the fold, and of course the rest is history. I just wanted to ask you, you know, one of my heroes, who was a drummer.
I know what you're going to say. And I've been asked and heard this many, many years. Larry London was a drummer, and it was Elvis's drummer and a session drummer.
Elvis's drummer.
Yes.
So I'm sure you get that as much as I do, Gomer Pyle. But
yes, yes.
Your thing has got a lot more dignity involved with it. But I met Larry one time, and he was putting drum tracks on that latest Journey album. he was loading drum tracks. You know, there was a lot of drummers on that album, but Larry was one of them. And then, you know, of course, we lost Larry.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But what an amazing guy. So when I saw your name on the Zoom thing, I thought, wow, this is really cool. Because I knew, of course, it's not the same guy.
Sure.
But, you know, our album Anthems, I was going with a working title of our project, because it feels like we've been doing it for years, working on this project. It's going to come to fruition on February 2nd, Groundhog's Day, which is my daughter, Misty Liberty. I was in Jerusalem, Israel, going to school in the castle of King David, studying Old Testament. And Misty was born in Nashville, so I flew back to try to be there in time for her birth. But we named her Misty Liberty, and her birthday is February 2nd. So Groundhog's Day. And our album will release next week on that day, officially drop. Now, we already have about a few thousand of the, we had pre-orders. I think we did 1,500 pre-orders.
Wow.
And that was last year. I announced that on Fox and Friends. They allowed me to come on and talk about our project. Of course, it was nowhere near done at that time, but we took pre-orders. And I signed some drum heads, you know, to go along with the pre-order.
Right.
Those have been delivered. And also we have 1,500 albums, the vinyl, available. So the horse is out of the barn, you know, and we're very happy about that. And Larry, I'd like to say one thing. Myself and the band, we didn't do this album to make a bunch of money. All the guys in my band, Scott and Jerry and Dave and Brad, they're all amazing musicians. They're from Alabama, Georgia, North Carolina. We represent in Tennessee, Kentucky, the Carolinas. I mean, we are a Southern rock band. We are Southern boys. We are Southern men. And but the guys in my band, we've been together 15 years, and we play Lynyrd Skynyrd music better than any band in the world. We've been playing it every day for 15 years. So they don't need this band to make money. They're all successful businessmen, not a bunch of yahoos. I don't dress anybody in my band like my friends up in rock and roll heaven. I don't make them wear funny hats and you know, and dress like the band. There's none of that in this band. We have three fine vocalists. We brought in all these guest vocalists, but, you know, Brad, Jerry, and Scott have great voices, and they blend. We have great Southern harmonies and everything. And as I said, you know, they have successful businesses. They have beautiful wives and children and homes, but they do this because they love it. I'm 75, so they're all like in their 60s or younger, and they grew up with the music, and they play it because they love it. Long before we met 15 years ago,
That's great.
They were playing this music. So this whole album, Anthems, you know, the working title was Honoring the Music of Ronnie Van Zant.
Right.
And his band. And when the management and record company were with Get Joe Records out of Texas, and we're also with a company called Spinning Plates out of Nashville, they came up with the title Anthems. And I got to tell you, I love it, because Ronnie didn't write just hit songs or hit albums. He wrote anthems that, as I said, will be here for 1,000 years. So everything came together. It wasn't easy, Larry, navigating the shenanigans of Nashville, Tennessee. Right. And I'll just wink, wink, nod, nod. I'll just say that. It wasn't easy, but we got it done. It wasn't easy getting Gary Rossington on with Dolly on Freebird, because people lied to Gary at first and said that Dolly had pulled out of the project. And I immediately had Kent Wells, you know, her producer, call Gary and assure him that she didn't. And I very quickly got an answer back from Gary, his side, you know, saying, we realized that they lied to us. Dolly's not pulling out of the album. And so against all odds, we have done this. Where are you located, Larry?
We are in Washington, D.C. We are, you know, the Voice of America is the U.S. government's broadcast network. So we are in the epicenter. And, you know, Sammy Hagar had a song called Voice of America. So, you know, that, there you go. But, you know, I just you are a man who cheated death twice.
And, more than that.
Well, twice that I'm aware of. You were in an airplane crash where just about everyone in the plane lost their lives except for you in 1977. You are in a car accident that broke your leg in 21 different places. Why did God put his hand on you? Why do you think you've been blessed like you have?
Well, I am blessed. I have 8 children and grandchildren. We play music together. We get very tribal. I've been in 3 airplane crashes.
3? Oh, no.
One when I was 11 with my uncle, Sammy J. Williams. One in the Marine Corps on a search and rescue mission for a downed pilot and his navigator, a phantom pilot, out of a squadron that was close to us. Hmm. And then, of course, the Lynyrd Skynyrd plane crash. I'm a pilot. I don't have a current ticket, but I can fly anything. I've flown jets in the Marines. I flew backseat on A4C Skyhawks. The dream with my father and I was for me to get my captain's bars and go to flight school and fly jets for the Marines. But my father was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, looking at a piece of property from the air that he was going to build on. He was an architect and a builder. A B-57 weather recon bomber hit him from above and behind, killed him instantly. And another man with him, Robert Stubblefield, had 36,000 flying hours. They were both killed instantly. They fell 1,200 feet to a muddy mesa in Albuquerque. I was the administrator of Dad's estate, you know, his wrongful death. You know, that was the dream with my dad and I. And after Dad was killed, I went from being a Marine officer flying jets to a drummer in a Southern rock band called Lynyrd Skynyrd. You know, life throws you some curves.
Yes, it does.
And as a Marine, you have to adapt.
Mm-hmm. I also wanted to ask you the question about the name Lynyrd Skynyrd. There has been so many different, you know, reports or versions of where the name came about. The one that I'm most familiar with is that was a school teacher.
Well, it's that answer. The answer to that is twofold, and I only know because I was told. You know, Bob Burns, the original drummer for the band. There was a song called by a guy named Alan Sherman, I think. Hello, Mudda. Hello, Fada.
Yeah.
Here sure. I am at Camp Granada.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the song, they actually say Lynyrd Skynyrd. That's a part of the lyrics of the band, of the song. Mm-hmm. And then there was a football coach that used to kick all the guys out of school for having long hair. His name was Coach Lynyrd Skynyrd. I got to know him, and we got to be friends. Hmm. I was the only Skynyrd band member that went to his funeral. Hmm. And there was 1,000 people there. He was a well-known coach. The lieutenant governor of the state of Florida came The BBC was there. There was a news agency out of Japan, because it was, he's the, you know, kind of the namesake of Lynyrd Skynyrd. And of course, Gary and the boys, this is before I came along, Gary and the guys changed the name, L-Y-N-Y-R-D-S-K-Y-N-Y-R-D.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the spelling to protect the innocent. Yeah, and so that's where the name came from.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach Skinner and I, we did a few fundraising things for veterans together, and the people loved him. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he was a rascal, there, I heard a lot of stories at his funeral.
Mm-hmm. Have you thought about writing a book about your career and your life?
I have a book, Larry. I haven't released it. I haven't published it yet. It's finished.
Okay.
125,000 words, 350 pages, 25 chapters.
Great.
References in the back to everything I say in the book.
Mm-hmm.
It gives a time and a place and an interview that I did or we did.
Mm-hmm.
Things that were written in magazines. It's all backed up. So it's called Street Survivors, Keeping the Beat in Lynyrd Skynyrd. I've got a few chapters that I want to add to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's done, but it's not done. So many things have happened since I finished it.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote it with a guy named Dean Goodman out in California. He wrote for Reuters and Associated Press, AP Wire, and he's a big music guy. He follows the Stones all over the world. He's from New Zealand. He lives in LA, right next to the Hollywood sign. If you see the Hollywood sign, his house is right to the left of
right
it.
Right there.
And he's an amazing guy. Every word in the book are my words and my stories.
Mm-hmm.
And my story. But Dean, I'm not a writer. I'm not academic. I didn't make it very well in college because, you know, I'm just not smart that way. I'm not academic. But Dean was able to take my words and put them what you journalists call continuity. So that it wasn't just a drummer rambling about things that happened on the road. So he helped me give it continuity. So I of course give credit to Dean for being able to make it readable.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise it would sound like Bob Dylan's book, Tarantula. You ever read any of that?
No.
It's just like it, there's no punctuation. There's no periods or commas or anything. It's a nonstop sentence from front to back. And I'm not Bob Dylan.
Right.
And by the way, Bob Dylan, I saw him on television one time talking about Ronnie Van Zant. They had Simple Man being played in the background. And Bob Dylan said, all you got to do is listen to the song Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd and Ronnie Van Zant. Listen to the words. That'll tell you everything you need to know. I literally cried. Tears came to my eyes. I couldn't believe it. I was in the kitchen and I came out and looked at the TV and it was Bob sitting there with Simple Man in the background. So the poet laureate of the world recognized Ronnie Van Zant. That's why I feel now these songs, we're going to put a little shine on them, bring in some guest singers that put their hearts and souls into them and give these songs new life. And all of the money for these songs goes to the children and grandchildren of my friends that are in the parallel universe on the biggest stage ever seen. They're all there. I am the last living member of Lynyrd Skynyrd. And Larry, I'm not bragging. It's not a good feeling, man. As a matter of fact, it's a bad feeling.
Hmm.
I never wanted to be the last living member of my band, but I am. It's a fact. And I'm not going to change what I do. I'm going to go out for the last 15 years with this one band that we got together. We've been playing this music. in beautiful venues all over America. We've gone on cruises 8 years in a row to raise money for the Native American Heritage Association. Every time we played on these cruises, the Rock Legends cruise, we were on there with ZZ Top, Pat Benatar. Pat's so amazing. The Doobie Brothers, sometimes maybe three or four or five big headliner names, and then 20 little bands like my band. And we'd go out 4 days, 65 performances, 25 different bands. And the crowd, the people on the ship always sold out, would always ask for us to come back. We were the most popular group. And why? All the bands, I mean, Roger Daltrey, you know, he was out there. They all have hit songs. Mm-hmm. But Ronnie's songs hit home with the common people, the common men and women. Simple Man, Ronnie said, listen to your mother. I knew Ronnie's mother. She was an amazing woman. And she raised three amazing sons, Johnny, Ronnie, and Donnie. All ended up in Southern Rock Band's 38th special, the Johnny Van Zant Band. Of course, he sings with the band out there that calls itself Lynyrd Skynyrd. So, you know, he comes from, Ronnie came from very common, good meat and potatoes stock. Mm-hmm. And Ronnie wrote like that. He was prolific in that way, being able to touch people. You know, and I've met people from all walks of life that love Ronnie's music. You know, a general in the Marine Corps with his wife and five children come to the show and tell me what, you know, I'm a Marine sergeant. So, you know, when a general comes up and says, you can call me Jerry, you know, I go, sir, my military bearing does not allow me to call you Jerry. Mm-hmm. So general, sir. You know, thank you for coming. Thank you for telling me your story. And then, you know, the other end of the spectrum, some guy that comes up and wants me to sign his wife's butt, you know, hey, Artemis, sign my wife's butt, you know, and I'm like, sir, maybe your wife doesn't want me to sign her butt. Maybe check with her first. So you go from the rude to the regaled, you know. And everybody in between, it makes me feel good that many of our presidents, that have been in office, you know, going way back, starting with Joe Biden and President Trump and before him and before him, they probably have a favorite Lynyrd Skynyrd song. You know, they certainly know who the band is. Mm-hmm. And that makes me feel good about Ronnie, like saying, hey, Ronnie, what about that? Mm-hmm. Just like the movie Forrest Gump. You know, Ronnie and us, the band, we had two songs in that movie, Free Bird and Sweet Home Alabama. When Forrest was teaching Jenny how to dance. It was Sweet Home Alabama in the background. Mm-hmm. And I always thought Ronnie would have been so proud. And somehow I believe in another world after this. I believe in something beyond this. I'm not going to get religious on you, because me thinking about that too much, my little human brain will explode. So I believe it's called faith. Mm-hmm. You know, I have faith. I lived in Jerusalem, Israel, in the castle of King David on Mount Zion for 3 years studying Old Testament, Leviticus. I'm a Gentile. I was raised Methodist, but I was with the Jewish people. I felt like they needed some help. So my Marine Corps training, I was a bodyguard for about 10 rabbis. Then the first Intifada, the Arab uprising, that happened. And I sent my family home. I stayed there. I was still working with the rabbis. I was in charge of the musical for the Diaspora Yeshiva, the music department of that school, that was located in the castle of King David on Mount Zion, a 3,000-year-old crusader castle which housed the room of the Last Supper, the upper room. So I didn't hear any voices. I didn't see any faces in the walls. But when I lived there, I did feel an amazing presence of an energy. I walked the streets, the Via Della Rosa, to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre every day from Mount Zion. And I felt the presence of an energy that was there. So, you know, I was able to experience that, and I miss it. I have a lot of friends over there, Israeli friends, Jewish friends that aren't necessarily the same. I have Arab friends and Muslim friends that aren't necessarily the same. I'm worried about all of them. I'm worried about the world. The world's on fire.
Yes.
I just wanted to go there and touch the places and be touched. And I did. I came back for the Lynyrd Skynyrd tribute tour, where we played sold out shows all over America after the plane crash, with Johnny Van Zandt singing the words that Ronnie wrote. And they had the same parents. They ate the same food. They were raised in the same house. They had a similar vibe, although Ronnie Van Zandt, of course, was the most amazing, talented human being to be able to write. You know, he was a great fisherman. He could catch fish. I cannot catch a fish. I can't catch a fish. I don't know what it is. I guess I'm a drummer. I'm too fidgety, you know, to catch a fish. Ronnie told me you must fish with style and grace. And I have neither. And Ronnie had a beautiful handwriting. His cursive was like my mother's, a beautiful, perfect cursive handwriting. And he was a very skilled guy. And I think that had Ronnie lived and Steve Gaines lived, they would have written much more music together. That's what I miss. Steve Gaines never had the chance to leave a legacy like Ronnie did. Steve was equally talented singer, songwriter, and a monster guitar player. One of the best I've ever played with. And I've played with Stevie Ray Vaughan and Eric Clapton, all these great guitar players, not to mention Ed King, Gary Rossington, Alan Collins, you know, and Steve Gaines of Skynyrd, my guys. But, you know, Steve was amazing, but he didn't get a chance to go on. I think he and Ronnie would have collaborated on so many more incredible songs and duets. Like, you got that right. You know, when my time comes, you won't find me in an old folks home. You got that right. You sure got that right. That was Ronnie and Steve singing together. So, you know, we lost Ronnie, we lost Steve, and we lost what could have been. But we have a lot. We have a lot. And I wanted, and my band wanted, to honor that legacy, honor that music, and share it with Dolly Parton, with Sammy Hagar, with all of the amazing vocalists. We have a young girl named Lindsay L. from Canada. So we have a Canadian on there singing Needle in the Spoon. She's 33 years old, hotter than a firecracker, super sweet. I was in the studio with her all day long. Really nice girl. She toured with Brad Paisley and everything. She's big in Canada, was on like the Canadian version of The Voice. She's amazing. So she was on the album. So we have a lot of great guests, you know.
It's a great album. Anthems is the name of the album, honoring the music of Lynyrd Skynyrd. It's the Artemis Pyle Band, APB, that are doing justice to the music of Ronnie Van Zandt and the band Lynyrd Skynyrd. Artemis is a original member of Lynyrd Skynyrd. He came in, I guess, after two albums. You replaced the drummer, and you were there for a number of years and tours and reunions and whatnot. And now the album's coming out. It's coming out on Groundhog Day. So if Artemis sees his shadow on Groundhog Day, that means we've got six more weeks of touring from Artemis.
I love it, man. I like your analogy. That's great. I mean, Larry, thank you for everything, and thank you for the opportunity on Voice of America. And I love Washington, D.C. We played there last year, course in the suburbs outside, a really cool place, and everything. But the truth is that nobody, no band can play, record Lynyrd Skynyrd songs and they're better than the originals. That's not going to happen. Our band, we realize what we are. We are a tribute band, and we honor Ronnie and the whole band and the music. So nobody is going to play that music better than the original band. No recordings are going to be better than the original recordings. But we just wanted to, as I said, give it that little modern update and put a little shine on it. And that's what we did. It was not an easy task.
Hmm. I know it's a monumental task to meet the expectations that you have and that other artists have who are participating in this. I'm sure it was a huge task. And before I let you go, because you did serve in the military and our audience includes members of the military around the world, I wanted to give you an opportunity to speak to the audience.
I get emotional sometimes. A lot of times when I'm playing the songs within the music, I never know when it's going to hit me. All of a sudden I'm emotional and I'm looking through the tears, but they're tears of joy. I will speak to my fellow veterans, and you know that I mean it. Thank you for your service. I had orders to Vietnam, and then my father was killed and everything was canceled and my life changed. I didn't want to go to Vietnam, but I was prepared, and I didn't want to kill anybody, and I certainly didn't want to be killed. But I know there's a lot of veterans out there that saw things that none of us can see. None of us would be able to live with the things that our veterans have seen. And we lose veterans every single day to taking their own lives. We lose veterans every day because, you know, they have nowhere to turn. So if I can help one veteran by saying, if it'll make a difference, please come see us play Lynyrd Skynyrd music, and we'll play Freebird for you, and we'll play Simple Man for you, and live another day. Life can be good. Yes, life has its ups and downs, but to all the veterans out there that are struggling with the things that they had to see, just understand that there are more people with you than against you. There are more people that understand what you went through than don't understand it. So I appreciate you letting me say that, Larry. That means a lot, man.
Well, it has meant a lot to me to be able to have you on the show. You know, Artemus Pyle is an icon in the music industry, a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member and board voting member now. And we were so thrilled to have you on the show. And hopefully you'll come and join us again. Now, where can people go if they want to go online somewhere and they want to find where you're performing, how to get the album, things like that? Do you have like social media sites or website?
Well, I have never touched a computer in my life. As I say, I'm 75, and I have my reasons why I don't touch a computer. I've never downloaded anything, sent or received an email. But my children and grandchildren and my band are all computer savvy. And so my band set up a website, you know, for the ArtemusPyleBand.com. And it has our the dates that we're playing, where we're going to be, and exactly what time we're going to be there. We're just trying to get the word out there that this is a tribute album, and I believe it's what I've heard from around the world in all my interviews, that it's one of the best tribute albums anybody has ever heard. And of course, Ronnie's songs have a lot to do with that. Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong. Every night when we play this music, the crowd sings along with us. They love every song. And they love my band because we play the music without pretense.
Mm-hmm.
We play it the way it should be played. We don't put on a clown act. It's not a circus act. It's just like Ronnie. Ronnie stood there and sang the words. And the band played the music. And that's what we do. And the music, Ronnie's songs, and the band's songs, because he had co-writers, you know, Alan and Gary and Ed and Steve all co-wrote. I wrote one song with Ronnie called The Smell, That Smell. But, you know, the people understand that the strength of the music. So ArtemisPileBand.com is where you can find out where we'll be. And again, Larry, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Artemis Pyle. An honor to have you on. And like I say, you have an open invitation anytime you're in the D.C. area to come by and see us again.
Oh, cool. Also, if you ever see my little band playing somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and you've not got anything better to do, come see us, man. Everybody that sees us, I sit for 2 hours after a show signing old albums and hearing stories about what the music means to people. So I think you'll be amazed to come and see the reaction that we get with our presentation.
Mm-hmm.
We love what we do. Thanks, Larry.
Yes, and I can tell you're definitely passionate about what you do and your music and the music of Lynyrd Skynyrd, the music of Artemis Pyle Band. And it's, like I say, a pleasure to have you on the show. The album is called Anthems. Pick up a copy of the new album. And thank you so much for watching and for joining us today. This is Border Crossings. I'm Larry London on VOA TV.